traits and trends of gentrification. So what do scholars say it looks like when you walk into a neighborhood? How can you tell that it's gentrifying? So first, I want to say a few cautionary things. Gentrification looks different and depending on place, so depending on what city it's in, depending on what neighborhood it's in, and also across time. So gentrification in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s looks very different than what it looks like now. Also, there are two really forms of gentrification, at least the way it starts. So it can start these top-down ways, so involving city government, organizations like 3CDC, who come into an area and say, hey, this would be a really cool place to redevelop, let's do it. And then the other way is with the starting these artists, maybe the LGBT community feeling marginalized, so they move into an area. And that serves as a signal, really, to middle class, people, and then also to the government, to investors, to developers, to say, hey, this is a neighborhood that maybe we should invest in. Many of these in-movers are attracted to the neighborhood because maybe it's gritty or it seems authentic, so it feels like a real place, not like your cookie-cutter suburb, so that's why they're interested in moving into the neighborhood. And then also its historic relevance to the city. So here in OTR, we can think about how emphasis is placed on its German heritage, how we're trying to preserve the Cincinnati Music Hall. It was just named one of the endangered places of the United States. So a lot of times, historic districts or landmark districts are created in these neighborhoods to say that they're important. But in some ways, the characteristics of OTR are also different than the literature on gentrification, specifically with regard to race. So there's not a lot of research on the racial composition of neighborhoods and which neighborhoods gentrify and which don't, especially on the national level. But some recent research that we did on Chicago and New York shows that it's not always the poor black neighborhoods that are gentrifying. A lot of times, it's the neighborhoods that are close to the city or close to the city center, to the central business district, with marginal proportions of black residents that gentrify, which we can talk more about that later. But we also know that black gentrification does happen, right? So like in Harlem and New York, there are white gentrifiers moving in there. So this gets at that like local aspect that gentrification does not look the same in every place. But ultimately, the neighborhoods that gentrify are those with the inexpensive housing, architecturally desirable housing, that are near the central business district, which I think we can all say that that's OTR. So how does the neighborhood change? That's the next question we can ask when we talk about trends. So really, there are two ways that neighborhood changes, and they're both really related. The first is a population change, an actual shift in the demographics of the people that live there. So part of this is displacement. So gentrification-induced displacement was in the initial gentrification definition by Ruth Glass, but a lot of scholars say that they don't know if it really happens. Especially given the amount of vacant homes that are actually in these low, disinvested neighborhoods. But we do know that displacement happens. We know that it happens in OTR. We know through a lot of qualitative research on like specific neighborhoods that it happens. Another shift in the neighborhood is how it feels. So the culture of the neighborhood, how does that change? Important to in-movers is a sense of diversity and a feeling of integration, that they're part of this democratic process, right? But what does it mean to live in a diverse neighborhood? Who is actually benefiting from this diversity? If emphasis is placed on historic legacies, whose legacy is being emphasized? A lot of research shows that as the neighborhood transforms, it no longer feels like home to these long-term residents. And this might be another reason they want to leave. It no longer feels like it's a place that they belong. And a lot of times, too, that grit and authenticity that drew early gentrifiers into the neighborhood it's changed. It's now a sanitized neighborhood, so they also want to leave. But ultimately, at the root of gentrification is the commodification of place, where local residents are treated as objects rather than the subjects to go through this process of upgrading. So we really need to see this as a larger process of urban inequality, which I think Jeff is going to talk about.
Thank you.